Man is making many attempts to bring peace. And yet what we find around us is anything but peaceful. Not only are our nations not at peace, in fact, there's war. We find that the people who are responsible for finances in our nation and in our corporations aren't making peaceful and growth and allowing growth in many good areas. We find a lot of family life is not peaceful. When man tries to create peace and tries to redirect their paths, things do not go right. I want to talk to you about Daniel chapter 2 today. Daniel 2 tells us that God will have to intervene through the righteous office of Jesus the King and bring peace to all mankind. Daniel 2 is a fine, steady example of what we have seen in the empires of the world around us for centuries. In Daniel chapter 2, we say in verse 1, this is in the second year of the king Nebuchadnezzar. He dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. Every so often we'll have troubled sleep. We may have a nightmare. We might have a difficult sleep, and we just can't get back to sleep. So the king asked his advisors to come in. He commanded the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, that was the official language. There's other languages that were spoken, but this is the official language of the palace. And they said, King, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. But the king, a little hot under the collar, answered to them and said, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation, you'll be cut into pieces, your houses shall be made a dunghill. He's kind of cranky, wanting them to get involved and tell him exactly what's going on now. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, I'm going to give you gifts, rewards, and great honor. So show me the dream and the interpretation. Well, they found themselves dumbfounded by this thing. The king says, the thing's gone from me in verse 5. He couldn't remember it. So they answered again in 7, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And the king answered, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing has gone from me. You're just going to waste my time and you're going to start playing games with me if I just give you the leisure of, well, I'll come back when you think you know what's going on. He says, I'm not going to do that. If you'll not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation of it. So the Chaldeans answered again and said, this is not a man. There is not a man upon earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It's a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none that other can show it to you, except the gods in heaven, and their dwelling places not with flesh. This made the king angry, and he was very furious, and he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain as well. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone forth to find and to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he said, "What is this decree? Why is it so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch explained everything to Daniel. So Daniel then went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. And so Daniel then went to his house and found his three friends, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish from the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. It said in those last two verses that this was a secret. Other translations might use other words. I'm using the King James. This is something very important to the context of this story and very important to the context of your life. God revealed the secret. It is God reveals all truth. And there are truths that you have that as it is, they indeed are secrets to some people. They don't understand what you see. So Daniel, verse 20, answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. God changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." In our own nation now, we're in a tumultuous time. A year or so from now, we'll be electing a new president. And the political machine is at work. And it's uncanny to watch the attacks go across the board against each other. This is not a godly thing. And while some of them think that they're going to gain office, I guess they almost all do, or they wouldn't be striving for it, you and I know the secret that whoever will be president because that is what God has chosen. God establishes kings. He removes kings and sets up kings. And so while we look at what is happening, and even in the financial matters of this earth, I hope you can see that we are living at a time when God is controlling the events here on earth. So he says then in 22, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. He knows what's going on and how people connive and cheat and steal and try to work out their plans. But he dwells in light. And yet he doesn't let everyone know what are his secrets. There's some secrets that you learned long ago. You began to understand that your life was a life that needed to be sacrificed, and you need to become a living sacrifice, and that Christ would die in your stead. And you believed that by faith, and that when you were then baptized, all your sins would be forgiven, and you could start walking a new road. And a lot of people don't know that secret. They don't know the secret that Christ gave His life. It wasn't simply taken like life is taken today. He gave His life. It reminds one of Abraham walking up a mountain. And his son says, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham says, "God will provide." And provided for you was the sacrifice of Christ. This is a unique secret. And while we look at the contents of Daniel 2 and we see how kingdoms have come and gone, we need to sometimes beat it down very fine as well and see what has happened in our own lives, what has come and gone into our own lives. It says in the fourth part of that 21 verse, verse 21, He changes the times and the seasons. He makes things grow. He puts them through the duration of heat in the summer, and then in the winter, the death of the plant. And then in the spring, the new ones shoot up. This is established by our great God. When we look at what He has given to us, these secrets, it's important for us to see ourselves as vessels. So He, as that vessel, says in 23, I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and might. You've made me known unto me now what we desire of You. For now made known unto us, You've made known to us the king's matter. This is something revealed to Him. And there have been beautiful things revealed to all of us about our conversion and our change, about the holy days of God. Revealed to us has been the covenants of God. Revealed to us has been the instructions and guidelines from God. Here we are keeping the Sabbath, and there are a few others in the world that keep the Sabbath. But for the most part, even those who keep the Sabbath are not completely aware of what is going on. I mentioned Aruba to you. In the area of St. Petersburg, we have a member, Bryce Burkle, who hails from Carousel in that area. And he knows a lot about Aruba. I've talked with him about this. His father was a Seventh-day Adventist minister in Aruba, evidently well known. And Mr. Burkle, or Dr. Burkle, went through his education from a Seventh-day Adventist background. He worked for the Seventh-day Adventist hospitals. He was educated by them. And while the Sabbath was an important matter, he knows so much more about the Sabbath now from reading in God's Word and secrets that have been revealed to him. He did a study of the 60 prominent doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventists. And then he looked at the doctrines of the Church of God. There were only three where there was a common thread: the Sabbath, the state of the dead, and the third one, escapes me at the moment. But can you imagine, out of 60, there's only three. And yet, you might think of yourself in some ways similar to a Seventh-day Adventist mindset. But really, when you dig, you find that that is not the case. There are secrets that you know. The third one was unclean meats. So he's revealed things to us. So in 24, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. So Arioch brought in Daniel before the king very quickly and said, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known of the king the interpretation. So the king answered Daniel, his name had been changed to a Chaldean name, Belshazzar, in the Syriac language. Are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Well, there's going to be people coming in your life from time to time that God reveals these secrets to, just as He's revealed them to you. 28, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Indeed, the calling is from God. It's a very special, personal anointing that we have. He reveals secrets and makes known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. So he revealed to him the meanings of the things to come, of prophecies. He says, your dream and the visions of your head upon the bed are these. King, you in your thoughts came into your mind while you were in bed, what should come to pass hereafter? And you can link the thought of come to pass hereafter with the phrase, the latter days. And so we're going to read of the prophecy that goes on for millennia about the rise and fall of empires. Which shall come to pass hereafter. And again, he says, and he that reveals secrets makes known to you what shall come to pass. If you look into a concordance, you'll find there's, I think, about 70 times in all of the Bible that the word secret is mentioned. You'll find at least 10% of them mentioned in this one chapter. And it is so important to us to know what happens in the general outline of the fall of the great institutions down through millennia. And that's what the secret was. But I see something that we should turn our own minds to from time to time and realize secrets have been given to us. And are we being responsible with them? Sooner or later, others will know the same secret. And it is our duty then, when those things happen, that we can talk about the common issues of those secrets. So in 30, Daniel says, as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other living person, but for their sakes that they shall make known the interpretation to the king, that you might know the thoughts of your heart. And again, it tells us that one of the reasons we know secrets is so that we can be a conduit, and we take what is given to us as a secret and set some point. It goes through us and we give it to someone else when we see that that opportunity is there. So, King, what you saw and behold was a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood above you. And the form was unbelievable. A head was of fine gold, the breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And you saw till the stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and all came crumbling down like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became the great mountain and filled the whole earth. Why have these things been revealed? Well, for our salvation. This stone that is cut out, you have intimate knowledge of, and you're going to have deeper knowledge of the Christ. In Isaiah chapter 2, and you could keep your finger in Daniel 2 if you wish. I've got five scriptures. Maybe I'll just read them to you. Save you a lot of finger exercise. Daniel 2, verses 2 and 3. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. In the top of the mountains it will be established, and he shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come, Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We'll walk in his paths, and out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So that stone that's cut out without hands is going to teach all mankind the way of peace. This is a secret that not altogether too many understand. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 1 through 4. Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, sin, without sin, just and right is he. So this great God is perfect in what he has given to us in Christ. Jesus is going to come and bring peace to this earth. And while mankind fumbles with that idea today, it will clearly come. I read to you Isaiah 2. Look what it says in Micah chapter 4. Micah 4, the first two verses. Very similar, if not identical. In the last days it shall come to pass, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Verse 4, But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. And none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. So there'll be happiness. That's a secret that most people don't know, and they don't know the secret to happiness. You and I fumble at trying to understand it daily. Some of our lives don't always have the thread of happiness through them. And we find that, and we wish to find happiness. And when we turn to God, we find that there's some answer there. But because we're so physical, not always are we able to overcome all that is deterring us. And we do have days that we wish could not have been. As we move forward and try to find this coming kingdom. Salvation is only by Christ, it says in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4 verses 10 and 11. Be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And so there's this comment at this point of Scripture, Peter telling these people that Jesus Christ is that stone referred to back in the book of Daniel. Also, there's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for the drink of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So that stone that becomes a whole mountain, talked about in Daniel chapter 2, is Jesus Christ. He's baptized us. He's immersed us into His way of life. And now we have an opportunity to follow through. And that secret is a beautiful personal secret that each of us have. Now, going on in Daniel 2, verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, He's given to those into your hand. He's let you have then dominion, you see. He's made you ruler over them all. So when you read of the creation of mankind in the first chapter of Genesis 26 forward, He says they're to have dominion over all these things that can reproduce after their kind. So you are this head of gold, He says. Nebuchadnezzar was part of God's plan. Our presidents today, our leaders in Europe, are part of God's plan. And after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, but shall bear the rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as iron, forasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things. And as for iron, it will break in pieces and bruise. And the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, that kingdom shall be divided. For there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as you saw, the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And we've been seeing for a few decades that kind of assembly of strength and weakness in Europe. And now because of the financial weakness, that European community is falling apart. And what will come out of it, it's difficult to know. Yet it seems that it must fall apart and come together in some other way. What kind of devaluation will have to be absorbed by all the world? What debt will just be written off as it's unbelievably high and can never be paid, such as happened in the days of Richard Nixon as president, when we went off the gold standard and there was so much debt, and it was just, well, we're just going to have to write it off and start all over. What will happen tomorrow? I say that tomorrow, not tomorrow literally, but in the near future. What will happen is our nation and all other nations have to realize that our great desire to have, to possess, our lusts, our greed to have, is going to finally be given over to the fact that we have not. So the iron mixed with the clay, mingled together with the seed of men, but they will not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Brings to presence some thoughts and things I've seen with my son as a superintendent of a mine, and how much water they have to use to wash clay away from the minerals that they're mining to find the purity of the mineral. This whole use of water and how they recirculate it and recirculate it and recirculate it, washing away clay until they finally find, in his case, zirconium and titanium. So we come to the pivot, verse 4. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. There's a kingdom to come that is going to be absolutely powerful and absolutely beautiful. And nothing will stand in the way of progress of the ways of God. And this is a secret. The secret that started in your life with conversion is eventually going to result in the conversion of all mankind and all societies under the tutelage and grace of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. That rock cut out without hands is going to bring the ultimate in peace. For the one that you saw, the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. And it broke into pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. Now notice how this verse closes. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Absolutely it will happen. Most people don't think it's only going to happen. There is a portion of mankind that believes we'll eventually learn how to rule ourselves, and we can find ourselves bringing success to all mankind. That we have, if we have the mentality to be green enough, that's in the minds of some today, we'll find the way to really take care of ourselves. My daughter is studying to be a writer at NAU, Northern Arizona University. She wrote a small paper and sent it to me to look at, and facts of the some of the buildings there on the campus at NAU are now have on the roofs solar panels. Not enough to thoroughly power the buildings, but it's a start. But they've decided, and the school has adopted, the president has signed papers that say they're going to be a totally green, carbon-free university by 2020. He's given himself 9 years to be off the grid, to not use electricity except that they manufacture. And so they have conceived and know scientifically and with engineering the possibilities of building what they call a digester. And this digester will take everything that's left on campus and turn it into power. Now, we've got 9 years to get that done. We'll see what happens. It's a beautiful thought. The campus off the grid, no more electricity to be purchased. Everything that we don't eat, every scrap of waste paper, we put into the digester and it turns it into electricity. What if that really could happen? Well, something's going to get in the way. It always does. We have beautiful ideas, but we can't bring them to completion. And that's what we found with Nebuchadnezzar on through the other four kingdoms that were mentioned. But God's way is sure. So 46 says, the king Nebuchadnezzar worshipped Daniel, commanded they should make oblations and sweet odors to him. And the king answered to Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods, and as a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that you could reveal the secret. There's going to be a time when you can reveal your secret to someone. Now, it won't be about the fall of Babylon. That's already happened. But there is a secret that you know, and sometime you will find that what you know, and you haven't even thought that you knew it, you're going to be able to use that to help someone. As we heard in the sermonette, time and chance happens to all. And there'll be some time when you will have the answer at the right time for the right person. And that'll be because as God directed, seeing that you could reveal this secret. 48, then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chiefs of the governors. He was over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested of the king, and so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. The interpretation is sure. And I encourage you to be very sure about the gift that God has given to you, the secrets that He has given to you. Our calling is from God. John chapter 6, verse 44. Gospel of John. Let me read for you 6. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. So your calling is by God. Just turning the page to verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some that believe not, for Jesus knew that from the beginning who they were, that they believed not, and he knew who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I say unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. So the calling that we have is very special, isn't it? In the next chapter, 7, verse 28 and 29. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught both, and saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am come. I'm not come of myself, but of him that sent me. He is true. You don't know who he is. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. There's many people that don't know who God is, but you do. And each of us will have our opportunities to be sent as a custodian of truth and a teacher of the ways. In chapter 9, we'll read a concluding story. John chapter 9. Jesus passed by and he saw a man which is blind from his birth. His disciples asked, Master, who did the sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God may be manifest in him. The old thought is, you know, when somebody has a problem, a physical problem or a mental problem, that's something they've inherited. That isn't always the case, he says. He says, for I must work the works of him that sent me when it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made some clay with the spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went his way and washed, and he was seen. The neighbors thereof said, who is that? You see him? Isn't that the guy that was blind? The guy that sat in the gate begging? Some said, no, that's not him. It's just someone that looks like him. But I said, no, I think that really is who he is. 10. Therefore said he unto him, how were your eyes opened? And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said he unto them, where is he? And the man that had been blind says, I don't know where he went. I don't know. This is a story about all of mankind. It is telling us that mankind is blind. And you can read other scriptures that talking about the blindness that has in part happened to Israel. Mankind is blind, except for those whose eyes have been opened. And for some reason, he uses his spit and clay to open our eyes. And he stirs in our mind so we can see. So we can see secrets. What secrets do you have? What secrets has God placed into your mind? It's a beautiful thought to know that He has stirred Himself so specifically in your life that He knows some things that you know, and He's let it be prepared for the time when you can pass those on. The interpretation is sure. Let us all be sure.